This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sarah. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Live from Blue Water Seafood off 290 and 1960, it's the Sports Radio 610 Crawfish Circuit, supported by Academy Sports and Outdoors and Budweiser. Here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
That's right, The Drive is live, baby. The Drive is live, and we're on the road, and we are here, as you heard, at Blue Water Seafood. Clap it up here in the building. There we go. They got people outside. I ran through. I saw some people inside, took some pictures, and it's a nice spot, nice place inside, and a great spot to be on our fourth trip on this crawfish circuit. Again, here today, man, they are best in the business. This is one of their three locations. They've been serving crawfish in this city for three decades, man.
Really?
30 years. 30 years they have been. And it's all in the family, the Ping family. Their kids are still at multiple locations right now, man. And they've been doing it right. And I'm walking around. I see my man got that roasted garlic. I'm going to go ahead and get it. Shout out to our couple. They've been to all four of our trips. Give them a hand. Give them a hand right there. They've been to all four of the trips. There you go.
I'm surprised you ain't ran them off yet.
No, man, I can't run them off, man. They've been to more of them than you have.
I have missed one. That is a great, well played, sir. Well played.
But no, man, get on out here. Buy four, get one free. They also have that special every single Tuesday. They also have oyster specials on Mondays as well, so you don't want to miss that. Also, so they've got a lot of spicy. Yeah, a lot of good things, man. Mother's Day coming up, man. They got good crab legs for that as well. So you got to get out here. Get out here to and that is at all three of the locations. All of the locations you can get all of those great specials. We handed out our first shout out to Allison, who was our first winner of our $25 gift card to Academy Sports and Outdoors. We'll see if Shannon breaks the streak. She has never won, and we'll see if she does. As she's been here for four trips, but you can be our next winner in the 3 o'clock hour. All you got to do is put your name in our raffle box, and you'll have a chance to be a winner.
I think I'm going with most popular next order.
Yeah, that's usually your first.
Well, whatever texter text about them shrimp and stuff, that kind of turned me on a little bit. I'm going with most popular. I'm going to see what the texture said.
Trust
me, right.
I'm sure Christian is ready to let you know what the most popular dish is. There he is. All right, Clint, as we looked at kind of the first round and where they are, and you talked about players that they can look at, and you, I don't know. I don't know if disappointed is the word at first. I don't know what it is. With them not being able to get one of those players in the first round, especially all of those players we had looked at and talked about. But to me, right now, and I'll let you respond to this, and you all can respond to it on the text line and on YouTube and Twitch. I just think right now, as we have gotten through free agency, we are now through the first round of the draft, and I think even more, I'm starting to feel this way, Clint, and to me, it feels like the Texans are in a space, Clint, where they are still building towards trying to get to a Super Bowl as opposed to being in a place where they are ready to play in one. And I felt like last year they were more in the direction, and maybe we were just off on it, but it felt like last year they were in the direction of, hey, we're like, we lost to Baltimore and we are ready to compete with Baltimore. We're ready to compete with Kansas City, Buffalo, all of it. It felt like that's what they were pushing towards last year. But this year, just looking at the moves, not making any, you know, any of the major moves on the offensive line as we talked about, and then, you know, trading out of the first round and not making any of those moves, there haven't been any real, like, hey, we want to improve and catch up and get to the levels that those teams are. And honestly, you could say there is a point, especially when you look at the offensive side of the ball, they're at least at the same or maybe even a step back in some regards when you think of Laremy Tunsil not being there and then replacing it with Cam Robinson. So I just, that's just where I am right now, Clint, is this team and where they are. I think I am adjusting how I view this team. And how I thought after last year's offseason, this is a team that is a team that is trying to gear towards winning and getting to a Super Bowl. I judging by their actions and the moves they've made, and again, there is still time. You know, there could be other moves that are made or they could surprise. But right now, they feel like they are more building.
Yeah, look,
right
now. At the end of the day, I understand where this year is a little bit of a buzzkill so far. You go 2 years ago, they go get Will Anderson and C.J. Stroud, and it's like, hey, man, we're aggressive. We're moving up in the draft. We're making win-now moves.
We're really building.
We're going to get game changers. And they went and did that. And then, you know, the next year, which was last year, in the offseason, they go make win-now moves with Danielle Hunter and Azeez Al-Shaair and obviously Joe Mixon
and Stephon Diggs. And they say, we're going to pay your tight end $12 million. We're going to
right. And so now, you know, we over 2 years now, we've seen and experienced, you know, two different ways to just swing big and build your organization and really respond to not being competitive at a Super Bowl level. And now this year, when I expected it the most, to be honest with you, when there was more of like one single glaring need that needed to be filled, it seems like it's been a buzzkill with the moves that they've made. And then the first round of the draft, which, again, I have no problem with, but I understand where some people could look at it and go, man, that was a little bit of a buzzkill right there. I think this offseason has been underwhelming, to put it nicely. And to your point, you're still trying to establish yourself as a Super Bowl contender, not just a playoff team, but a Super Bowl contender. And these moves that they've made this year, really across the board, you know, I personally get excited about the Laremy Tunsil move, but I don't know how that, if you don't replace it with the right guys, I don't know how that's a step in the right direction. So, it's an underwhelming offseason so far for the Texans. You start factoring in the coaching moves and the coaching hires, not so much the fires, but the hires, and it's even more of a buzzkill. Yeah. It's even more underwhelming. So, yeah.
It feels like, Clint, they are 2026, 2027. Like, they're not, this year is a build year to get used to Kaylee and this offense and CJ, well, and then hopefully these young picks that you make in the second round are able to grow and to be better players into next year. And I think if you adjust your mindset, I think you could probably feel better about things.
Well, the idea is for them is to just keep getting better year in, year out. And you can say they did that from year one to year two, no question. But then when you look two to three, I just don't know how you convince anybody that happens, unless a bunch of the guys that you signed in one-year deals and reserve-type contracts can go out there and hit it out of the park. We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see where they get to. As I see some people texting in, damn show, one round of the draft is complete, only one. See how you feel after tonight. One round of seven is complete. You're looking at the offseason as a buzzkill. Pathetic. No, from the standpoint of this team being in a position to play for a Super Bowl, to be in that position to get to a Super Bowl, an AFC. Yeah, I think what they have done, their actions in the offseason have shown like, hey, we're still building towards that. Like they haven't last year hey man, we're gonna go. We got Will Anderson. No, we're gonna get another dude on the other side this big time. Yeah. Maybe, you know, wait, man, we got Nico Collins and Tank Dell. That look like a good. Nah, man, we're gonna add Stephon Diggs, a proven dude, man. Like they went and said we're going for it. Like we're gonna get enough weapons to match up. This year, they look like they are just building towards it. Now, could they surprise? Sure, I could guess. But right now, they just, to me, I've just adjusted the thought of, all right, this is a team that is, you know, more in the range, I think I've said it before, of a team like the Chargers or, you know, a team like the Broncos that are still building towards that point. It's not just, Hill, just the one. There is, like, guys, we've gone through free agency, and we've gone through the first round of the draft. Do you seriously? I'm just saying it to you. Do you seriously look at this team and say they have now gotten to a place where I see them on the level of the Ravens, Bills, and the Chiefs? You may think that. I think that they are. To me, they look like a team that's building to get to that.
The thing is, I think it would have been premature, even if they did make moves to go, hey man, Ravens, Chiefs, Bills, like in the playoffs, competing for an AFC championship every year, one of the more dominant teams, winning 13 games. Like, I think it would have been premature, even if they would have gone out and been aggressive and signed guys at that point in time. It still was too early to say that. The key here to me is that, you know, you're primed and ready to make a couple of moves and prove that you're at least, to use your term, building towards that. And it seems like they almost put things in neutral and said, hey, we tried last year. We wasted a second-round pick with Steph Diggs. It didn't work out, right? And you know, all these win-now moves sure made a difference, but let's correct some things in-house versus make big swings right now. At least that's what it looks like. A lot of offseason left, a lot of draft left, a lot of offseason left. And we'll see how this thing ends up piecing together. But I don't think it's unfair to look at what they've done in the offseason so far as a little bit underwhelming, no question.
Yeah, text line coming in. It feels like they went from win now to win soon. Yeah, I think Clint just kind of talked about it. They kind of pulled back a little bit on their aggressive.
Well, it looks too, guys. I mean, I think there's. A different approach is probably the way that I would couch it. Is, you know, I think they probably came in, you know, the young bull that wants to run down and get them all, and versus the old bull that wants to walk down and get them all.
Yeah.
You know, that last year it seems like, hey man, you know, it was more of a collective effort, kind of a just gunslinger approach of, hey, let's go build, let's go get whoever's available. If we got to trade draft capital, if we got to pay big money, let's go get it done. And I've said this before, it seems like Nick has taken over on the offensive side of the football and said, okay, let's build this thing more so like we did in New England and do more with less and focus more on chemistry and accountability and all five guys up front. Yeah, all five guys up front are better. Five good guys up front are better than one great one and a bunch of misfits, right? Like, it seems like that's been the approach, and hopefully it works. We'll see.
You're right. Like, it does feel like, Clint, they've almost midstream changed their approach.
Yeah. Yeah.
They went from, hey, damn it, we're going Diggs, we're gonna pay Dalton Schultz, we're gonna go and get Joe Mixon. Like, hell, not just Joe Mixon. Remember, they were trying to get
Barkley.
They were trying to get Saquon Barkley, and were the and just missed him. Like, they were swinging, and they have gone back to. Can we just say it? They've gone back to the New England way.
Yeah,
they've gone back to the hey, Tom. We're not going to put as much around you, and hopefully you are the one that can direct traffic and do things, and you know, obviously we got Nico Collins, so we have a really good piece there. Like, it does seem like they have gone from let's go. It seemed like they were like, hey, we got a quarterback on a rookie deal that has shown us something. Let's go right now while we can do it. And then it seems like they've pulled back on the offensive side.
So far, it seems like that it's been that approach. Now let's see what they do today.
Yeah.
What they do tonight.
By the way, Clint, what is Atlanta doing?
I mean, they said they ain't been able to sack the quarterback in about 10 years. They went and got two guys that can help them sack the quarterback.
I'm not tripping about what they went to go get two guys, what they gave up. Like if you go,
I didn't even pay much mind to it. What did they give up?
A first round pick for next year
to move from the second back to the first.
they gave up their second round or their first or their first round pick or their second round pick, gave them their second, gave them a first in next year's draft, and an additional pick, like another third. It is they gave up.
Well, they moved. Would they move from the middle of the, they moved from the middle of the second all the way up back up into the first?
Yes.
Yeah, they moved a good bit. Yeah.
Another first.
They wanted that edge rush. They got the kid out of Tennessee, right? The kid that went like 4-3
something. But in the 20s, like they didn't go up to the.
Yeah.
That is like what they do on the draft, man. They go and sign Kirk Cousins. Like they don't care the price. They want something. They gonna get it. They don't care if they gave Kirk Cousins $150 million. They still gonna get.
Hey, when they
Michael
got
Penix
that,
Jr.
When they got that kid out of Tennessee, when they got that edge rusher out of Tennessee, they panned over to their war room and they were like in their chest button like tackling each other.
Yeah, they're out there like
a bunch of meatheads. That old what's that old fella's name that took over for Sol up in New York? The old Brecht or whatever. The old muscle.
Oh yeah,
up,
yeah, yeah.
Old,
oh, guy is he there?
Up. He's there. Yeah, he was in their war room. It looked like one of the scouts was trying to tackle him or something.
Yeah, I'm telling you, they said we come hell or high water. We're going to get these dudes. I'll give up multiple picks. I mean, the Rams couldn't say no. The Rams was like, okay. Someone texted and said, how in the hell did the Rams get so much for the pick 26 and we got what we got for 24? For 25, yeah, man, it was wild. All right. In the division yesterday, it was pretty spicy. A lot of things happened in the division, including the move of the draft early with Jacksonville. Indy got a good player. And then, obviously, the top pick of the draft, the Tennessee Titans. We'll look at what the division did. And, in particular, do you like how aggressive Jacksonville was? You look nervous at all. We'll discuss that coming up next.
We're coming out to drink some bullets and eat some bugs.
Live from Blue Water Seafood off 290 and 1960. It's the Sports Radio 610 Crawfish Circuit. Supported by Academy Sports and Outdoors and Bud Light. Here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Drive is live, and we are live here on the fourth leg of our Crawfish Circuit. You can clap, Shannon. That's all right. Yeah, we're on the fourth leg out here at Blue Water Seafood. Come on out, make your way, and enjoy yourself with us. Shout out to Academy Sports, by the way. Coming up at the end of this hour and at the end of each hour, you have a chance to win a $25 gift card to Academy Sports and Outdoors. All you got to do is put your name in our raffle box. And I just saw, shout out to our good friends at Bud Light for helping us put this this on as well. I saw the Bud Light girls; they are around, hooking folks up with a little action. So, shout out to both Academy Sports and Outdoors and Bud Light. Make sure you get your Jordan gear like I did.
There you go.
As Academy Sports and Outdoors have partnered there, you can get you some Jordan gear at any location here in Houston. All right, Clint, the division, boy. The Texans moved back and didn't draft, but in the division, it feels like, hell, there's an argument, Clint, that they may have gotten the three best players in the draft. When you look at, obviously, Cam Ward, who was the number one pick and the number one quarterback in the draft, and then Jacksonville, they make the move, the early move of the night, moving up from 5 to 2 and giving up a lot to go get Travis Hunter, who I think many people think just natural, just player, best, maybe the best, him or Abdul Carter, maybe the best player in the draft. And then the Colts, they somehow get Tyler Warren to 14. And I was going to say, he wasn't the first tight end off the board.
Yep.
Many people thought that he was somebody. I know we loved him. You loved him. He's somebody that can do a lot of different things. Yep. So there are three different guys that got added into this division. That listen, I'm not saying the Texans should be afraid. They still got the best coach and quarterback in the division, and not to mention that Super Bowl level defense that it looks like they're going to have. But those are three dudes they're gonna have to deal with now.
Yeah, look, the division got better. There's no doubt about it. Those top picks, like you said, I would say three of the top four players probably. Three of the top five players.
Definitely Ward and Hunter.
Yeah. Well, I think the Colts got the best tight end in the draft, but yeah. We'll see. Yeah, they definitely got better. I think the story. Big shout out to Cam Ward, by the way. I know that's hard for a lot of folks to wrap their head around, given that he's a Tennessee Titan, but he's from the great state of Texas. In fact, he's from just south of Houston here. Zero stars coming out. Goes to school at Incarnate Word in San Antonio, another Texas establishment, if you will, and blows it up there. Then he goes to Washington State, tears it up there, and then he goes down to Miami and becomes the number one overall pick in a draft. So big shout out to him and his family, man. Got to give the guy from Texas a little bit of love. That's a hell of a story, man. To go from zero stars to the first overall pick in the draft is money.
Yeah, yeah. So, good for them. By the way, this little news coming from Jordan Schultz of Fox Sports. Several teams picking in the high 30s and 40s are calling the Browns, who are at 33, the Texans, who are at 34, and the Titans at 35 about potential trades to try to come up and get a wide receiver or edge are viewed as highly tangible drop-offs in the wide range of evaluations. Would expect both positions to be targeted early in the second round. So, according to Jordan Schultz, the Texans are potentially taking calls for that pick 34.
What positions did you say is a drop-off?
They're talking about wide receiver and edge.
Yeah, so wide receiver, one of them where you know, you'd like to see the Texans get a little bit better, get faster for sure, in my opinion. So they're going to be...
Clint, if he acquires more picks today...
Like, I don't know. That'd be a tough pill for me to swallow. I think you can still. I mean, I think if it's handled the right way today, and with all the extra picks they have, I think we could end up coming out better with more impact players the way it's all worked out than had we drafted in the first round. Now we'll see if that happens. That's going to take a lot of movement today. But I really believe that is a possibility. So I'm going to let today play out before I get too worked up. But I tell you what, you trade back from this you know, this first pick in the second round, boy. Good gosh, you better have your Ed Ingram and Lakin Tomlinson and Cam Robinson and all and Trent Brown better be the 2020 he better be the 2018 version of Trent Brown.
2018.
That's when he was rolling, wasn't it? Wasn't that when he was rolling? 2018, 2020, somewhere in there.
It's a long time ago.
Hell, that's what I'm talking about. I mean, these guys better come out and absolutely kill it. We'll see. Yeah, I don't see them trading back. I think they use that early second round pick, and then I think they package some things up and climb in the second round again.
I may regret it as I did yesterday, maybe, but I'm more likely to see them doing something with those three third round picks to trade up to get further, more than I would see them trading back again. But I mean, I guess if it's another good deal, I mean, I'm sure Nick will listen and take the call. But by the way, back to the big move of the day, Clint, did you have any problem with how aggressive Jacksonville was to go get Travis Hunter in that trade? The Browns, they got from them the fifth overall pick, trading the second and the fifth. They also get their second round pick, which is 36 overall. They also get a fourth round pick, which is 126, and then a 2026 first round pick in next year's draft. Listening and seeing everything they gave up, did you think that was too aggressive, too much for Jacksonville to go get Travis Hunter?
No. I didn't. I think you're getting a potential lockdown corner and a potential number one receiver, depending on how you use him. And you're getting a guy that has stayed healthy. And as a prospect, you look at him as an uber healthy guy that played more snaps than anybody in the country. He played 113. I heard yesterday where I don't know that anybody else in the country played more than 85 or 86 snaps.
I'm about to say, anybody else could be close.
I mean, you're talking about a guy that's playing 25 to 30 snaps more. And a big part there is he stayed healthy doing it. To what degree he does it at the next level, I don't know. Word on the street is, what I'm hearing out of Jacksonville is that their plan is to use him as a wide receiver and a fill-in defensive back, which is interesting to me.
That's interesting. You generally think it's the other way.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, that shocks me, to be honest with you. I thought he would be a full-time lockdown corner, and we'd flip him over on the offensive side of the football in critical situations, not because he's capable one way or the other, but it's easier for me as a play caller on the offensive side of the football to dictate all right, this situation, I want to use him, red zone or third down or this screen package or this mid-range game. Like, you can dictate that. When you do it the other way, it's like you could see him standing on the sideline a good chunk of the game because whatever the opponent's offense did do didn't put him in a position where he could be used, right? So I would think that it would be flipped, but we'll see. I mean, I think it's a hell of a trade. I think it's a hell of a get. You're talking about a high-character guy that stays healthy, that can play a ton of snaps, that, by the way, can also be a number one at two of the higher-paid receiver positions on a team.
And I think he went to a progressive spot, too. Like that Liam Cohen and that group, I think that's a group that will be a lot more open to using him. And I think as us as football fans, it'll be fun to see potentially his full potential of what he can do, because I don't know if other places – I think this is a place that might be willing to play him 100 snaps, like if it got down to it. I do – I think people look at it and gave him a lot. They gave up a lot, and they did, but – I like what actually they said. I know Sean and Seth love to give their general manager a hard time. But he said, man, sometimes there are players in drafts every year, and then there are guys who are truly impact players that affect the game and outcomes of the game more than others. And I do. I think Travis Hunter has that potential.
And
has that potential in multiple ways that we haven't really seen before.
Yeah, look, and I heard Marcus Spears and Dan Orlovsky talking about the box office impact that he could have, and Marcus said no chance, it's more about Trevor Lawrence, and Dan Orlovsky was more about Travis Hunter. I'm going to tell you, the example they gave was you tuned into Colorado football. Why? Because Deion Sanders, right? I disagree. Like I did initially. I kept coming back. The Deion thing got old quick. Like I was like, all right, in terms of me going back and watching, right? It got old quick. Travis Hunter, though, I want to see how many snaps he's playing. What's he doing on offense? Is he locking anybody down on defense? Like, Travis Hunter was the star attraction. So I do believe he's more than just a great player. I think he's a guy that ultimately could end up being a box office must-see guy, a ticket-selling guy.
It's a little bit of the Shohei kind of thing, right? Like, stuff you've not seen before.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Go in there and say, like, oh, he's about to just, like that as much, maybe since Deion, oddly enough. Yeah. All right, coming up. The Rockets, they've got a huge game 3 tomorrow, and there is some news, important news coming out of that game. We'll share that with you coming up next.
Live from Blue Water Seafood off 290 and 1960, it's the Sports Radio 610 Crawfish Circuit, supported by Academy Sports and Outdoors and Budweiser. Here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Quarter horse.
That's right. We are live. Clap it up. Here we go.
The Drive is live.
We had a couple roll through here, and they knew Texans jerseys right there. I see you right there coming in. Get you some crawfish, baby. Come on out here as we are having a good time. Blue Water Seafood. The Bud Light girls are out. They are apparently, my wife texted me in, and I said they're going to hooking people up with some action. Let me clarify that. They are they've got some good items for you to maybe partake in. That's
they got exactly what you think. Cold beer.
That's not it. You're
cold
right.
Cold beer.
The Bud Light girls are here, and they've got exactly what you think. Cold beer right there. Let me just say it.
Yeah, girl.
That didn't get better the second time I said it, did it, Tyler?
You had a hard time correcting that. I'm not sure why.
I did. I don't know why.
Your voice sounds good, though.
Yeah, I know. Tyler liked it. Yeah, Tyler liked it. let me get this across here. As the Rockets, they are off again, and that does nothing but help the Warriors, to be honest with you. And the Jimmy Butler news, which there is news. This is coming out from several sources. Golden State coming out with their injury report. Golden State Warriors forward Jimmy Butler, who exited Wednesday's game in Houston with 1:51 remaining in the first quarter due to a pelvis contusion, underwent an MRI yesterday. The MRI confirmed that the injury was as a pelvis and deep glute muscle contusion. His status for Saturday's game 3 is questionable. So that came out late last night. The Warriors made it official with that, but he is questionable for that game. Clint, I would imagine Udoka and the rest of the crew are going in there completely 100% assuming that Jimmy Butler will at least play.
Yeah, look, I would imagine so. When it first happened, for his sake, you hope it's muscular and it's not something to do with his back, a disc, or something, you know, something that can't be fixed. Now, it's going to be painful, but usually when it's something like that, if nothing's torn or anything, then they can either deaden it or they can, you know, they can work it out before game time. And hell, this series is going to take about a month to get through if these guys go seven. So they got plenty of off time. That's for damn sure. So yeah, it's good for Jimmy Butler, but I think he probably needs one more game rest.
He may get you
one more rest, Dave.
I would imagine. Who do you think is going to be the one to do it?
Somebody going to put a knee in it?
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
I'm thinking a forearm is what I was thinking.
Put a forearm in it.
Let's go, man. Dylan.
Maybe go to jump. Yeah, Dylan ain't above it. There ain't no doubt.
Dylan's time, isn't it?
If Draymond Dylan's Green time. Wasn't on the floor, Dylan would be the topic of conversation.
Hell, I tell you what, Udoka might do it. Udoka might find a way to the handshake line and just drill it.
I think he's got a team full of guys. I think Jalen Green may be the only one that doesn't.
Jalen Green went forearm to face earlier.
Jalen Green and Curry got tied up late in game two, and Curry was kind of joking and kind of hugging him. I think the team thought that Curry was talking trash or something, so everybody kind of ran over there, and Jalen got up kind of glad-handed, ha-ha-ha. I bet Ime Udoka said, nah, man, you save that for after the series. I think they said no friends on the floor.
I feel like Dylan's just going to be not even guarding people. He's just
a menace.
Just getting low and just hunting and hiding and coming out.
Hunting bad hips.
I'm telling you, but I'm just saying, Jimmy, as soon as Jimmy gets somebody in the post, it's coming. Bam, right there to that glute area. But
well, he does like to play with his back to the basket and do a bunch of that. We'll see how effective he is if he does play. But I fully expect him to play now with that report.
But especially how physical this game is. Like, I mean, the Rockets, they're going to make him feel it. Like, he is going to feel that. Listen, this is a big game, obviously. The series is tied, and you can steal home court back with a win in one of these next games in Golden State. To me, Clint, I think it is extremely critical that the Rockets weather this early storm, right? Like, you've been involved in this. You know you've gone to certain teams that you've had to play on the road that's ready for that game, and you know that first quarter, that crowd is going to be going nuts. They come out the tunnel, they're going to be crazy. Golden State, everything with the Jimmy situation, you know, whether or not you know these guys have convinced themselves that there was something could have been avoided in that. Draymond may have convinced himself and the whole team that that was the dirtiest play that he has ever seen. Steve Kerr may have as well, but you know they're going to be up and ready for that game in that first quarter. And Clint, we've seen Golden State over the years. We've seen Steph scored 17 points in a 5-minute overtime once. Like, we've seen them get after it real quick, and teams lose games in the first quarter because, you know, Golden State went off. I think that is extremely critical, because I think once the game slows down and it just, like, and it becomes a game, especially if Jimmy Butler's not 100%, I think the Rockets have more answers.
No, Jimmy, no way.
Well, no Jimmy, yeah.
Take care of you. I'm talking about Jimmy Butler, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah, no Jimmy. Yeah, well.
You ever have that problem? You don't want to answer. You don't want to answer it on the air.
I just want to go back to Jimmy Butler, man. No, what you're talking about.
No Jimmy, no way, baby. Yeah, no, look, I like Steph Curry, and Steph's scary. He scared me in the second half last week, or like last week. It feels like when the game was.
It certainly can't be consistent. Like Steph just go crazy.
Well, they just don't have enough. I mean, there's Rockets are too good defensively. They have too many players that they can throw at perimeter shooters on the defensive end of the floor, and especially if the refs are gonna allow the Rockets to grab and push and be as physical as they've allowed both teams to be, then Curry he's not going to have enough. And let's be honest, if Curry goes out there and scores 40, do they have enough outside of Curry to keep up if you can score 100? I mean, I don't know that that Golden State has that. So this I think the whole thing, whether Golden State can compete, obviously depends on Jimmy Butler. And if they do, I still think this entire series hinges on Jalen Green and what he's able to do. Can he get Can he get four games of seven? Can he get four of them where he's bringing it the way he did? Not necessarily 38 points, but playing the brand of basketball that he played in game two, or do we get more of game one than we get of game two? We'll see.
And then what do we get from these younger guys? Because yeah. I expect the Golden State role players to play better there. Like, I expect them to play better at home. Like,
But there's just so – I mean, the one guy that scares you a bit paired up with Curry, I think, is the
Pazinski,
the little shooter. Yep. Yeah, whatever his name is. Like, those two combined can light up the scoreboard, but I still just don't – I mean, is it – if you can extend an already really, really good perimeter-defending team, if you can even extend more because there's less of a threat that can mid-range or get you down low, then
yeah. – Yeah, I think Jimmy makes it a real problem. Yeah. I think Buddy Hield shoots the ball better at home. Yeah. I think that kid with Brendan Pazinski or whatever his name is, I think he shoots the ball better at home.
He's shot the ball really well since Jimmy Butler's been there. So that was kind of his story, the story of the season for him. But yeah,
that post character who start knocking down corner threes a little bit for them there. Moody, I think your Arkansas kid, I think they probably play better at home. I'll be honest with you. I have been disappointed a little bit, just a little bit. I know he's young. Is Amen Thompson. Like, I want to see him impact the game more. Like, you know, like, he's still in the last game, he took less shots than Fred, and Fred was openly trying not to, you know, take as many shots as he did. I would love to see Amen Thompson, who's just naturally gifted, to be more aggressive out there, and I think he has matchup advantages as well. So I would love to see a little bit more of him to be a little bit more active. This weekend, I've had several people here. Champ Slice, one of them. Some others. I've had several people reach out that that made the trip to Kansas City to watch the Astros play the Royals this weekend. Reach out to me and ask me, tell them. Places to go. Shout out to Champ Slice. Said he was listening to the show while he was at Joe's, Kansas City. You remember we tried to go to Joe's?
Gas station.
Gas station was outside the door. Both these teams are playing pretty well. The Royals have won four in a row, and the Astros obviously 6-7. So this will be a little fun thing. Our guy Wisniewski gets the ball again. We'll see if the Astros can keep this going. I cannot wait to see what lineup we get thrown out today. All I know is DeZinzo should probably be in it.
That'd be fair.
And we should probably see, hopefully for the Astros' sake, that Christian Walker keeps rolling. That's been the big yep. thing. Him and Yiner Diaz, you're starting to see them come about, and they desperately need those guys to keep going.
Yeah, we need those guys to keep going based on how the season started. I agree. That's the focal point, right? But we said before the year started, like, or at least I felt this way. I don't want to put words in your mouth, Ron, but the Yiner Diaz and Jeremy Pena were going to be two big. They needed to be two big contributors this year. They needed to take the next step.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you, Yiner, the jury's still out, right? I mean, he's still struggling through some things, but it's getting better. But Jeremy Pena, man, come on. He is absolutely rolling. And I don't know if it's going to last. I don't know if it's going to last as hot as he's been. What is he, 13, 14 game hitting streak? Moved up in the lineup. What is he batting? He's batting fourth again.
He's been batting fourth, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, Jeremy Pena is rocking and rolling. So hopefully he can keep that going on too, because that's bigger picture. When you get obviously Altuve and Alvarez rolling and Walker rolling and Yiner rolling. I mean, Pena in the middle of that, it's nasty, man. It's going it lengthens that lineup big time, and we need it now with Bregman and Tucker gone. We need it now more than we ever have.
All right, coming up here, before you get to the four, I want to hear what you got going. Remember, if you're in the building and you've not signed up, we are going to hook somebody up with our second gift card, $25 gift card to Academy Sports and Outdoors. Make sure you sign that up. We're going to do that as soon as this segment ends. Clint, what you got coming up?
Well, I want to hear from Nick Caserio, right? Now, how did Nick Caserio feel about trading out of the first round, and when did he know that was potentially a move? We'll do that next right here on Sports Radio 610.